Well, John, we talk to Kyle several times a week. Haven't heard too much from you, especially the last part of the season. How did you feel about how the team concluded the season?
Yeah, I got a great deal of pride with the way we finished. That's so much to becoming a successful organization is finishing everything you do. And I think, I'm really proud of the way Kyle and his staff kept the team positive and upbeat, but at the same time, never lowered our expectations of what we expected out of them. And then, yes, our goal is to win games. And when we had some really tough losses, I thought Kyle did a tremendous job of leading these guys and keeping the proper perspective. And so when it all came together, I was really, really just proud. And they came to work every day. And I saw a team and I saw players getting better. And that's what you want to see during the course of a year, particularly with young players, any player. I saw players getting better right down to the finish. And that is very encouraging.
As a general manager, how do you kind of weigh, what you're seeing on the field as far as the wins taking place and what that does to your draft order?
We're trying to build a winning culture here. And so anybody who had thoughts of, you guys shouldn't be winning these games. I mean, that's why you play. You play to win. And that was always our philosophy. And having been through it myself as a player, had a very similar year in Tampa, 6-10 in Tony Dungy's first year. And I think the record might have been actually 1-8 and 1-9 at some point. We finished 6-10, and I felt what that did for us moving forward. And so I think that's much more important. And that's why we're happy and proud with the way we finished. I think Kyle and I have been doing a lot of talking and throughout this process that we love the way we finished. But if our players think just because we finished this way, it's just going to roll on over, that doesn't happen in this league. That's one thing I learned over and over is that you got to go create it. It's a new year. It's a new team. It's a new year. And the way we work, the way we go about our business is going to affect how we play as a team into next year.
You guys did a good job of managing expectations when you came in. Does the way you finished the season and the acquisition of Jimmy Garoppolo accelerate sort of what you think internally this team can accomplish?
I don't think so. I mean, depends what you guys write. That's how the expectations go. So hopefully you guys don't go crazy on us. But I get everyone's excited, especially when you finish the season with 5 in a row or 6 out of the last 7. So we understand that, but I also know that that doesn't help at all. It's not going to help you play better. I know one thing's for sure, when we get to phase one or when we get to OTAs, that we won't be the exact same as we were right now. We will either be better or we'll be worse, and the only way you get better is if you work. And if we don't, then I promise you we'll be worse. So we got to go right back to work just as hard as we did last year, and try to be the best you can. And when you think that way and you don't pay attention to anything else, usually good things happen. And this is how we plan for it to go. We wish we would have won more games this year. That's one we were definitely hoping to, but I am proud of how it finished, just like what John said, and we'll have that exact same mindset going into next year.
John, I asked this Kyle, how do you think you finished the season as maybe one of the better teams in the league?
I remember when Kyle said to you to you guys that, like against Jacksonville, it felt like we were the better team today. That's what I watched. Now, does that mean that we're the better roster in terms of talent at each position? No, we're not there yet. We have a lot of work to do. But on that given day, we looked like we were the better football team. And, that speaks to what I was talking about, the way we improved throughout the course of the year. Obviously, Jimmy came in and was fabulous. He was great for us, and he made people around him better. And I think that's the mark of a player who has an opportunity to be special is, do you make people around you better? He did that. But there was also a confluence of, I think we had a bunch of young guys that were improving, and at around that same time, a couple things happened. We got healthy. After enduring a lot of tough injuries, we got healthy, and the experience level of some of these players and the confidence level started to also kick in. And so when I saw us finish that. Yeah, I thought Joe Staley said it well. I don't think there's many teams in the, you know, had we taken care of business early and, you know, we're able to sneak into the playoffs, I don't think many teams would want to face us. We're playing good football.
Yeah, they're going into the offseason with projected over $130 million in salary cap room. And I think fans see that and say, great, you guys have unlimited amount of money to spend. Basically, what's the plan?
Yeah. Well, we're putting that together now. You know, one of the things that's always ongoing, and but as you guys know, Kyle and I came in here to do this thing together, and with a great deal of collaboration. One thing, there's constant communication, but he's also getting a team ready. He's putting an offensive plan together each week, and so we'll be having a ton of conversations. We have a good idea of where we want to go and how we want to do it. I do know that we're both encouraged. We've got a lot of resources, both in terms of cap money, but also in terms of draft capital, in terms of draft choices, that we have a great opportunity. Now, again, that opportunity is only what you make of it. And so, you know, one thing we learned, didn't learn, but you just know, you know, last year we studied all these great players. Most of those guys get taken care of, either franchise tagged or whatever. So we'll continue to study and continue to try to improve, and we'll have a plan that's complete and thorough and well thought out.
Would you imagine
be more aggressive financially
than you were last?
I don't know if it was exactly the plan last year, but you certainly didn't.
Yeah.
Too heavy. Would you be more aggressive this year?
Well, look, our volume was pretty intense last year in terms of the number. But, you know, really, I remember last year our plan as we arrived was to try to fill what we perceived as holes in our roster so that we could go draft the best players available, not feel beholden to, hey, we got to come out of this with this, this, and this. And so, you know, Kyle and I both believe in being aggressive, but also you don't do things just because you have all this money. You know, we have a ownership group that we're very thankful for. You know, when we don't spend to the cap, they don't put that in their pocket and say, okay, hey, thanks, guys. And they roll it over to the next year. And so we'll be patient, but also aggressive. And when we see fit, you know, if there's an opportunity to go get someone who can really improve us, we'll certainly take that opportunity.
John, what are your plans to get something done with Jimmy over the next couple of
months? Look, we want Jimmy to be a Niner for a long, long time. And that process is going to take place here, and you know, we're eager to get that done, to have the opportunity. But I think one thing that we really believe is that that those things should take place between us and his representatives, and not occur and transpire with, you know, in the public. And that's the way we're going to treat that. But you have our assurances, and the fans do, that we'd like nothing more to make him a Niner for a long, long time.
Kyle said repeatedly that you would like Jimmy to be here for a long, long time. Jimmy hasn't said the same thing yet. He keeps saying, we'll see, we'll get there when we get there. Does that give you pause at all that he won't at least publicly, verbally say that he wants to be here a long time?
Not at all, because I think, you know, I think we've had conversations with him, and we know where he stands, and we're comfortable with that.
John, he looks like one of the better quarterbacks in the league based on five games. 5-0, he hasn't lost a game, and he's the greatest quarterback ever, right? But are you ready to pay him like one of the best quarterbacks in the league?
Oh, you know, we're going to work hard to try to keep him as a 49er for a long, long time. We're really happy with the way he played. We think he's got some abilities that are unique, and we want him here.
Did you make the decision for sure that you were not going to talk to him even after the third season? Was that the decision you made, or was that kind of a joint decision?
We made that collectively. That's where his side was. That's where we were, and we made that collectively, and now we'll proceed.
You talked about how you've learned about the players through 2009. You learned a lot about them. What do you think you learned about John, what did you learn about Kyle through that 2009 1-10 stretch?
I learned that John was who I always thought he was. You know, I knew John before I got here and stuff, but like I'll say a lot, you don't know people till you go through things with them, especially when you go through adversity. And starting 2009 here was tough, especially you know, being first year head coach, going through that, coming into a building every day, knowing how hard everyone's working, and knowing coming up just short each week. And I think one of the things that helped me get through that time was, you know, just how John handled it every day, how Jed handled it every day. They never seemed to lose confidence. And I think I can stay pretty confident if I know people around me are confident in me. And it was pretty cool to have them around where they didn't waver. They acted like the same people I've always seen and made me respect them all a lot more.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think I've said this publicly. I knew the offensive acumen and the mind that I thought was unique and special in Kyle. What I had never seen him is him in front of a team and how he could capture a team and lead a team, which is a big part of being a head coach. And I couldn't be more impressed. And, you know, we faced adversity on numerous occasions. And the steady hand with which he handled it, and as I said earlier, it's a gift to be able to adhere to the expectations we set, but also keep a team encouraged and keep a team up, and also let them know that even sometimes in a losing effort, that we appreciated the way they went about their business, what we learned is what we thought. We complement each other well, and the communication that we had during the course of the year is crucial and integral, and we've got to stick to that moving forward in the future and plan on doing that.
Having that year together, how much maybe easier does it make it going into this offseason, especially for your guys, knowing what Kyle's looking for and the communication too?
Yeah, well, I think a lot easier, but I think one thing I've cautioned my staff is, okay, just because we have all that, I mean, last year this time, I think I was broadcasting a Kyle's game, you know, in the divisional round, so after a bye week or whatever, and I think because we have all this extra time, we can't get lulled and, hey, we got this. We gotta, you know, pedal to the metal and continue to work vigorously, which we will. But I do believe that the processes are so much further along. And just like you said, Nick, I mean, us knowing at each position what they covet, and that even grew throughout the course of the year. So we're much further along, but our work ethic can't change. I mean, last year it was, survival. We had to go, and we had to go, and we had to go, and we've got to keep that mindset. But definitely we're much further along and in a much better place.
You mentioned focusing on being able to select the best players possible in that draft last year. Now that they're done with their rookie year, how would you, collectively evaluate that 2017 draft class?
Yeah, I got a great deal of belief in that class, that's just not because because I'm tied to them, because we chose them. It's because I saw what they did on the field. I saw the way they conducted themselves. Right from the very top, and Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster to Kello Witherspoon. Joe Williams was on IR, and hopefully he can pick us up. But then you go to those fifth rounders with Kittle and Taylor, what I loved is that the vision we had for those guys started to play out on the field. So I think that's where the collaboration comes in, and when Kyle can articulate, here's what I'm looking for at this position, and we see that come to life, that's a good thing. And when you have 15, 16 rookies playing and contributing in a big way, that's encouraging. And, I can talk about the guys at the end, Colbert and the free agents like Breida, and I could go on and on, but these guys came and really picked our team up in a big way and were accepted by their teammates because of the way they go about their work.
Add an extra layer of enjoyment in that Jacksonville game where you have so many young guys making big plays, from Colbert to Breida and Kittle and Trent scoring touchdowns.
It did, because, I mean, you can see him get better each day, and we know we see it on the practice field a lot, and I think you guys saw it throughout the second half of the year, but it's always nice when it was that obvious, to where the fans could see it, you guys could see it, because they deserved it, because the guys had improved throughout the year. And talking about that class, what was special to me about that class is, you can study people on tape and you got a pretty good idea of what you want to see in that, but you never know. That's why the draft's such a crapshoot, that you never know until you really know the person. And we can act like you get to know people through these draft interviews and these visits, but that is extremely hard. You don't really know people till you go through something with them. And that's why you don't know what you officially have till you have them here. And what was unique about that class is I think we've got a very special group of guys, and there were guys we put a lot of pressure on, and at sometimes they weren't fully ready for it. But because of the type of people they were, I think they all fought through a lot of things this year, and when it was all said and done, at the end of the year, I think they were better players, better pros, really showed something about their character, which I think is goes hand in hand with them becoming better as their careers go.
Oh, I know things could change, but do you imagine any staff changes going in next season?
Yeah, I don't imagine any changes. You know, it's still early. I haven't talked to everybody. And I know we got a few guys that some, you know, especially right now, some colleges are interested in and stuff. So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm hoping there's no changes.
You didn't know Salah real well. You talked about this, but how did that fit? Or when did you really know this was something that you guys could go into the future long term?
I worked with him earlier in my career. He was a quality control, and I always really respected how he worked, and I thought he was always a very smart guy. And, you know, I've kept in touch with him over the years and played against him a number of times. And so I felt really good about him when I really sat and interviewed him right after the Super Bowl, and talking to him over the phone and doing things like that through it all. I knew he had the type of brain that I was looking for, just to be able to handle it all and the way he worked with people and stuff. And I also knew he had a scheme that I really liked that I thought he could add to and change a little bit. And going through the year with him, he was everything I hoped for. He put in a very good scheme, adjusted it throughout the year to try to fit the players. Still made adjustments, but also didn't just give up on everything when it didn't work. He had a foundation of what he believed in, and he stuck to a number of things. And I think that's one thing that allowed us to get better throughout the year. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges. Why is it so hard to lose that many games or to go 0-9? And I said it with John, even with Saul. When you're struggling like that, everybody thinks you have to change everything you're doing. And, hey, what are you going to change here? You got to change this. And it's really hard not to fall into that pressure because you're 0-9. You don't have – it's hard to say, well, no, it's working. But when you do have people who are convicted and the right type of people do believe in each other and believe in something that they stand for, Saul is just like that. We were able to stick with what we believed in, and I think it paid off in the long run.
How do you guys, when you decided to part with Navarro, was that a big testing point for this organization at that point, like which direction you wanted to go?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, just when you have a guy who had the type of career that Bo had here, the type of guy he was, that was, it would have been much easier just to maybe ignore it and move on. You never know how people are going to react. That press conference was real tough for us because it's not something that we're wanting to do. We just felt it was the best thing to do. And I've learned over my career that sometimes things you think are the best thing, perception-wise and stuff, sometimes it comes back and bites you a little bit because not everyone understands. But that was something that we had to do that we believed that would help us in the long run, and we thought it was better for Bo too. And to sit there and stay strong with it, and I thought it went over well. I thought it tested our organization pretty good. Didn't know how everyone would react to it, and I think everyone felt the same. It was something that no one was happy about, but I think everyone understood, and it made me believe and feel a lot more comfortable where I was, and that felt everyone in here had each other's back and understood that, you know, tough decisions you got to make, and hopefully they end up being the right ones.
How do you approach this time, end of the season, before free agency? You have some free agents or pending free agents, you know, Eric Reed, right, Carlos Hyde, Daniel Kilgore, just named three. Do you anticipate, because, you know, they don't have the risk of playing games, your leverage isn't as much as it would have been had you re-signed them early, would you expect those guys to hit the open market? Or are you going to work toward bringing some of those guys back?
Yeah, I think the one thing that we've tried to do is that, yes, you're playing a season, but we've had conversations with all of those guys throughout the course of the year. And I think in each situation, given the right parameters on both sides, we'd like to work something out. And so, you know, we'll see as we move in whether that happens, where it's going to be competition for some of those players. And, you know, we're going to Kyle and I have been having those discussions all morning. We're going to continue to have those, and we'll continue to stay in communication with those players.
If you approach them, do you almost have to give them the ultimatum of, you know, once free agency starts, all bets are off? because, you know, obviously a lot of guys would want to hit the market and kind of see what their market value is.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. And some of them, that may be the tactics. Let them go to the market and see where it's at. We'll see how that develops. And, you know, I think each situation is going to be treated uniquely, but we'll remain in competition or in communication with all those guys.
It was a year ago, about 11 months ago, when you two were up here introducing yourself. Yeah. Can you flashback to that? And do you feel similarly? Do you feel totally different from then? Just what's the mindset from that?
Well, it's been a whirlwind. It really has been. It's been a really rewarding year because certain things that I felt convicted about, my conviction in wanting to join forces with a guy like Kyle, you know, I feel really, really good about that. I feel really good about my feelings on an organization like this and what we could get going. I feel, you know, it's by no means even close to a finished product. We still have so much work to do. But I think more than anything, I'm just glad I did it. I did it because I wanted to be back in it. I wanted to be back invested in something, and it had to be the right opportunity. And I really feel convicted it's the right opportunity. I feel like we're a better organization. Mindful, though, that the work never stops in this league, and we've got so much work to do. And but I'm really proud of the mindset that this team developed, and I thought we became physically and mentally tougher, and we grew, and that's what we wanted out of this first year. And I love the way we finished, but Kyle will be telling these guys right away that it's only what we do going forward that's going to dictate how good we are going to be, you know, in the next year and into the future.
You guys had two former first round picks in Eric and Jimmy change positions. Obviously, they didn't end the season healthy, but how do you think their position switches went, and do you anticipate that they will stick at those positions going into next year? Or is there still going to be an evaluation to be made whether or not they switch again?
No, I think they went real well. I think both of them played at a high level. I know Eric had definitely been back there more at both spots, but I know Jimmy was new for him in terms of NFL, but sort of saw most of them in college, so I didn't think it was that far out there. But they both played very well. They've shown they can play at a high level at that position in this league. It's always nice when guys can do other things because you put together the best possible roster, and then you try to get the 11 best guys out there. And when guys can do more than one thing, then it gives you some freedom on how to make that decision. But you're always going to try to get the best 11 guys out there. So they're all trying to compete to start at certain spots. And if they don't and they can do something else, then we'll find a way to get them out there.
With Jimmy, I think he's suffered four fractures since 2014. Obviously, that could happen at any position he plays. But is there any thought to maybe trying him at cornerback again, maybe to prevent some of those high-speed collisions?
You can try to prevent things in football, but I think that's just part of the game. And you still have to make tackles at corner. You still have to make tackles at nickelback. You have to do it all over the place. And, I mean, the injuries have had to happen there also. So we're going to try to get Jimmy back here to be the best player he can be. And then you let that handle itself. But I love that he can play all the positions. But I want to make sure that we find the best spot for Jimmy, for him, and for our team.
Staying on Jimmy, from a contractual standpoint, that's a pretty high one-year number because he was the fifth year as a corner, not right. Safety. Are you comfortable with that number, or are you going to try to look to do something with that to either extend him and lower that, or just pay cut? Or anything?
We like Jimmy Ward. I think we like the versatility that he brings to this team. We like the mindset that he brings. He's a tough football player, and you know, I've seen players before have a run of injuries early in their career, and somehow they figure something out and they get through it. And hopefully that can be the case for him. And so we'll figure all that out. But we're excited to have Jimmy back. And, he plan on him being a big-time contributor to this team.
I like a couple more guys. You guys don't like the name where you have needs. Specifically, maybe, but would it be fair to say number one receiver, interior line, young pass rusher, and cornerback be of those positions?
I mean, we'll try to get better at all those spots. I'll take any of that, but it's I was thinking about when you guys were talking about you know, our cap space and things like that, that will we be aggressive, will we not? I think we'll always be aggressive. I think we were aggressive last year. And I don't take that the wrong way and what you guys think that means. It's, I think being aggressive is, you got to look at what your options are and what you believe is the right way to go. Whatever you decide on that, being aggressive is going out and getting those guys. And I think that's exactly what we did last year. Maybe not a lot of high guys that seemed like it, but we went and got all the guys that we wanted to, that we targeted from the beginning, and I didn't feel like we didn't lose on anybody. And we'll go into this year the same way. You don't know what's going to be available in free agency. You don't know what's going to be there in the draft. I think the worst thing you can ever do is say, hey, we have this much money, and we need whatever this is, one of those guys you said, and you don't see that guy. And then you go get the best available because you need that guy, and he isn't that guy. That's how mistakes happen. You might not always get every ideal situation, but you just keep improving your team. And if you can't be, if you don't have your ideal situation at whatever position that is, then you get better at another position and you lean on that side and work around that other way schematically. I think we'll do that year in and year out. Well, how much money do we have available, and what are the things that are available in free agency, trades, drafts, and whatever that is, whether it's spending all of that, as you guys want to say, or only spending half of it, I do believe it's all aggressive if you make the right decision, and whatever you do, you go for it. And what's neat about having that space is it allows you to make the right decisions.
October 29th, where was quarterback on that list?
That was the day before.
Yes.
It was pretty high.
Trey?
We don't talk about that.
we're on an offseason.
Yeah, we're on an offseason.
There were challenges that you were going to face with building a roster. In hindsight, how important was this decision to add Adam and Martin to your personnel team to kind of help you bridge those?
Yeah, I think any time you're in this situation, obviously, you know, my own circumstances and background were a little unique. But anybody who puts, you know, jumps in this role, you better have a great team around you. And so I tried to assemble the best team I could. I'm extremely pleased with both of them and their contributions. Both Adam and Martin have been invaluable to me, as have Rand Carthon and all the scouts that work with us. They've done a really, really good job working hard, working smart, and you know, I'm really happy and glad to have both all those guys as part of our team.
How much do you look forward to seeing him and Jimmy, seeing what they can do?
A lot. It was a huge challenge when we lost Pierre halfway through the year, you know, especially with him being the veteran of that group, one of the only guys who had ever started before. So that was a big loss when we lost Pierre, and put a lot of pressure on other guys. And it didn't happen right away, but throughout that time Pierre was gone, it really, you know, Marquise took it to another level. Bourne ended up helping us out. Trent Taylor started playing at a higher level. Then Kittle came back, finished strong. Selleck, to me, played at a higher level. So it raised a lot of guys, really stepped up to that challenge. And Pierre's healing up. He's going to be good to go. And I'm pumped to get him back here for OTAs.
Is there anyone outside of Trent Brown you're missing? You're expecting to miss early in the offseason program when you guys come back?
Well, Brock Coyle's actually having surgery today. He's labrum deal in his shoulder. So he's... hopefully, we didn't get a call yet that it's finished. But he was in there this morning. I think there's a minor deal Armstead's having, like a bone spur taken out on a toe. But that's pretty much it of the guys that haven't already had procedures done.
That's 5 to 6 months for
Clark. Yeah, to be full bore. Yeah.
Any news on Buck?
He's doing better. He's doing better. He had a sternum chest contusion. And he's doing better.
All right, last one, Eric.
Hey.
Yeah. I had a question about two guys' very injury histories. Marquise has been in the protocol six times. He's had four known concussions since 2014. And then Ruben, you know, it just seemed like his stingers became a weekly thing. Do you have, what level of concern is there, if any, about their long-term futures? If that could kind of be crucial, shorten their career in some way.
Yeah, we're not worried about the career effects of those things. I think Marquise has been sensitive about that before, that maybe however many have been reported are actually the case. We've looked into that. He took a tough hit the other day, and he was more upset about not getting 1,000 yards than anything else. So he's doing good. I'm happy to report that he is in the protocol heading into the offseason, but he is doing well. And, you know, Ruben is something. I've been through that myself. When you get going with those stingers, you really just need an offseason. You need to be able to quiet down. And he played valiantly trying to get through it. But this offseason will be good for him. And I think as he grows as a professional, like every young player, in terms of how to take care of his body on a week-in, week-out basis, he plays a very physical brand of football. And so he's going to have to be better than a lot of people in terms of the way he takes care of his body. And we think we have some ways in which we can help him, and we're gonna look into all those. But what we do know with Ruben is when healthy, he's a special football player, and he's a special personality that kind of lifts everybody. And, you know, so we're going to work real vigorously with him to try to figure out the best way to keep him healthy as much as possible. And the great thing is he's willing and eager to take on that challenge himself. And so I think this offseason will be a great one of growth for him in that respect. And then you just, you know, you there's some luck that comes in and some things that are out of your control. But what we want him to do is everything in his control to get himself to be able to stay on that field. You know, I think Kyle had a deal, no more staying on the field with him, and it didn't work in that last week, unfortunately. But real proud of his year.